scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot, save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot, they score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get at it. Happy Tuesday. It is November 26th, 2024 with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. It's Pat Steinberg along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio. This hour of Flames Talk's underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully your week and your day's going along well. We say hello to Wes. Following a 4-3 loss in Ottawa on Monday night. What's up, Mr. Gilbertson?
How are you today, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I think that not what I would say maybe the most surprising of results on Monday, and I only say that because all of the rhetoric and all of the talk coming out of Ottawa was very much like, okay, if these guys don't show up on Monday night, then what?
Yeah.
And Brady Tkachuk was getting absolutely lambasted in the local media, and the team was having their character questioned, and so on and so forth. So you kind of had a feel that Ottawa would be a hungry team, and I thought it was the Senators on Monday night to kick off a 4-game road trip. I thought it was the Senators who set the tone right from the get-go.
Yeah.
They set a physical tone. They set a hard-nosed tone. And you know what? The Flames, I think, attempted to match it. I don't think Calgary loses a 4-3 game due to lack of effort. I don't think they lose the game due to lack of want or work ethic or anything like that. But in the end, I just thought that the Sens were the hungrier of the group. They were the deserving team to get the 2 points. And the other thing is, Wes, I thought it was just an evening where the Flames, as a group, I thought fought it more than they have over the last couple of weeks. And sometimes those nights happen, and it happened on Monday against Ottawa.
Yeah, I'll agree with both of those points. For starters, that looked like a Senators team last night that, after hearing the questions about whether their captain should be wearing his emotions on the sleeve or on his sleeve, I'm sorry, the way he has, like, that looked like a group that was committed that they were all going to be really emotionally involved in that game. Like, they had a message to send early, and the Flames happened to be on the receiving end of it. And then I just thought, from Calgary's perspective, it was sloppy. You know, it was not great execution. It was just a lot of little penalties where, oh, I'm trying to lift my stick over a guy's head, and instead I slap him in the face with it. Or, oh, I'm, you know, reaching for the puck and I give this guy a can opener.
Yeah.
It was just sloppy. And so the end result was, to be perfectly honest, probably closer than it should have been. And yeah. I'm not saying they deserved to get blown out, but it didn't feel necessarily like a one goal game either.
No. And again, those nights happened, and We haven't said this very often. I think we said this on back-to-back road games in Vegas and Utah. But we haven't said very often that there's been too many passengers, and I thought that was very much the case on Monday. It felt like there was one line going all night. Felt like the Backlund line was the only one from start to finish, with Sharon Govich and Coronado that had a little jump and was on it all night. I thought the Zeri line got better as the night went along, but didn't like the fourth line. For the first time in a long time, actually, didn't like Lomberg, Kirkland, and Rooney as a unit. They've been generally very strong in their role.
Yeah.
Didn't think they were very good on Monday. And I thought that the line of Kadri with Kuzmenko just wasn't much happening with those three, Pospisil being the other one. I thought that line really struggled. And I guess that leads us to maybe the first question I have on this Tuesday edition of the program, Wes. Like, the guy I'm concerned about most right now is Kuzmenko, because I don't know what we're seeing right now, but I'm worried about where it's going, because there has been largely nothing that has been contributed positively from Kuzmenko's standpoint over the last number of weeks. Like, he has rarely impacted games positively. He has too often impacted games negatively, and the rest of the time he's just invisible. And you know, for a guy that maybe they're trying to flip for something at the deadline, or a guy that there's been buzz about maybe re-signing and bringing back, or whatever the case may be, they're not getting a ton from Kuzmenko right now. And you hope that that shootout goal, everybody was talking about that shootout goal and the high level of skill that he displayed Tuesday night a week ago against the New York Islanders and helping win that game, maybe that would be the thing that would get him off of his little slump. Hasn't seemed to happen. What are we seeing right now with Andrei Kuzmenko? And I guess, are you as concerned as I am in terms of the trends that we're seeing?
Well, and this is going to sound harsh, and maybe it's going to sound like hyperbole, but I don't think it is. Andrei Kuzmenko is playing like a guy right now who is going to have trouble finding an NHL contract next season. Andrei Kuzmenko, from my vantage point, is looking like a guy who could be playing overseas next year. And that's for the reasons that you spelled out. With Andrei Kuzmenko, you know it's always going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride defensively. You acknowledge the fact that, and I don't think it's that he doesn't care or isn't willing to invest a little bit in. It's just, you know, Andrei Kuzmenko is always going to be a below average defensive player. I think that's perfectly fair. And so to balance that out, you need the rewards at the other end of the rink. And when you're talking about a guy with one goal this season, when you're talking about a guy who is not impacting it the way that you expect him to on the power play, when you're talking about a guy who I think the coach has been reminding on a hourly, if not more than that basis, to shoot the puck more often and still isn't directing any rubber at the net, you have to wonder where he's going to wind up.
Yeah.
I didn't buy much into the rumors earlier this season about talking contract extension with Andrei Kuzmenko, other than a general manager doing his due diligence on what he might want. Because that's also one of the questions that comes up when teams phone about a trade. Well, what's he looking for? You know, what's his agent looking for long term? I mean, if you're Craig Conrad, there's no way you're talking contract extension right now. This is a guy who, because of the lack of offensive depth on your roster, is getting tons of opportunity and, quite frankly, is not doing much with it.
This is with a guy who has as lethal a shot as Kuzmenko does, a guy that is as dynamic and offensively gifted as this guy is, for him to be 22nd on the team in terms of his shot attempt rate, 5-on-5 shot attempts, he's 22nd on the team in terms of the shot attempts that he's taking compared to his 5-on-5 ice time, 20th in shots.
Just remind me how many guys you dress.
20.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, 18.
Yeah, okay, that's getting worse.
Yeah.
No,
I didn't make it any better, did I? This guy shouldn't. This was Ryan Huska Tuesday after an optional practice in Detroit. The Flames are in to play the Red Wings on Wednesday night. This was Ryan Huska Tuesday when asked about what's happening with Kuzmenko.
I think right now it's more of him trying to, or he's thinking about, I have to make the perfect play, when in reality it's just keep it simple and every opportunity that you get, put the puck to the net, because that's typically how things start to go for a player. So our message from us to him is, don't overcomplicate it. Just do what you do best, shoot the puck.
It's not happening. He hasn't had one game this year where he's shot it more than twice, or where he's put more than two shots on net.
Yeah. Well, he has 26 shots in 22 games. By my rudimentary math, he's averaging about 1.15 shots per game.
Yeah.
For a guy, again, who you sort of understand that there's going to be some defensive lapses. You understand that when you're trying to protect a one goal lead at the end of the game, nobody's tapping him on the shoulder, right? We all get that. And so to leave that guy in your lineup, there has to be some offensive upside's not the right word, but there has to be production. There has to be a reason that, okay, well, we're willing to put up with the occasional, you know, defensive liabilities or lapses because look at what you can do at the other end. Well, right now it's just the liabilities and lapses.
Yep.
And, you know, the lack of chemistry, especially with Nazem Kadri, is a little bit hard to wrap my head around just because of what I thought we saw out of them
last
year. And then, you know, it's not the clip you just played, but I was thinking about it. Remember post game? Must have been after the shootout goal
on Tuesday last week. Yeah.
And Ryan Huska essentially told reporters that night, yeah, there's almost guys cheering on the bench when he gets a shot on goal right now because they're so happy he's shooting it. Like, how far down the road do you have to be for NHL players to be applauding their buddy for taking a shot on net? That's his game.
You know, I was, I've talked to a couple of people about Kuzmenko, you know, people that I trust. Mm-hmm. with the team, and you know, one of the things that I've been told a couple of times is Kuzmenko feels like it's a wasted shot if there's not traffic and there's not bodies in front, and he feels like if it's just a clean shot, why not try to make it more dangerous than just getting the clean shot? And you know what, I understand that there are some goalies like number 32 on the Flames who it feels like if there's not traffic or a redirect or some sort of tic-tac-toe play, you're not beating Dustin Wolf right now. The clean shots, especially the really good goalies in this league, you rarely are beating those guys clean. And so for Kuzmenko, I've been told a couple of times that he feels like those clean shots are wasted shots.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's given himself enough credit for how dangerous his shot actually is. He's one of those guys where a clean outside shot, there aren't a lot of them, but clean outside shots off of Kuzmenko's stick are like top 10 percentile in terms of NHL players, I would say, in terms of how dangerous they are. I mean, how many outside shooters have the Flames had in recent years that you'd say, okay, that guy can actually finish from the outside? Maybe Toffoli for however long he was here.
Mm-hmm. But not many, to your point.
Not many, yeah. Right? And so, but I think Kuzmenko can be that guy. They've got another one in Sharon Govich. That shot is so deadly, especially when he one-times it, that even if it's outside of the circles, it's a high-danger opportunity. But I think Kuzmenko, it's a hard shot. And the other thing is it creates rebounds. And it's tough to make those stops, the clean stops. It's tough to kind of suck them in and get a whistle, or it's tough to control where that rebound's going because they're coming off of Kuzmenko's stick so quickly and so hard. So
yeah.
They need to find a way to get him to shoot the puck more. And I don't know how easy that's going to be for a 28-year-old guy, but they need to find a way for him to shoot it more than twice a game and for him to not be like among forwards. If I just quickly go back right now, he is among forwards on this team. If you don't count Sam Hanzek in the five games he played, he is attempting the least attempts at 5-on-5 on the team when it comes relative to his, like we're talking about on the team, not just forwards. Kevin Ball and Ryan Lomberg are doing more with their ice time at 5-on-5, creating shots and putting pucks towards the net than Kuzmenko is.
I mean, I don't know what more, like you said, it maybe it's hard to get a 28-year-old who's had success both in the National Hockey League and elsewhere as a goal scorer to sort of heed that message when you're asking him to, hey, it doesn't always have to be like it doesn't always have to be a no doubter, just put it on net. But if your boss is asking you to shoot the puck more and your stat sheet shows that you have one goal and you've been taken off the top power play, although that unit suddenly is looking like a PP1 anyways. You've been taken away from the net front, which is a spot you pride yourself on really being able to make an impact. You probably don't sniff the ice in the last 10 minutes of the third period if your team's trying to maintain a lead. Like, wouldn't you have some reasons to listen to your coach when he says, hey, try to put a few on net? You haven't had more than two shots in a game this season. And I guess that makes me wonder what the next course of action is. I know that Ryan Huska is careful about guys' confidence, and not over careful, but he's cognizant of it, I think is a good way. He certainly thinks through, okay, how is this player going to react? And especially when we're not talking about the in-game stuff. You know, if he's sitting there in his hotel room in Detroit thinking, geez, should I take Kuzmenko out? One of his considerations is, well, how do I think Kuzmenko's going to react to that? But you're getting pretty close, aren't you, buddy, to time to try something.
Yep.
You've taken him off the power play. Now you've putting him, oh boy. Now you've put him back on a unit, but you've sent a message that way. You've taken him away from that net front spot. You've certainly been pretty stingy with his ice time in certain scenarios. At what point do you need to sit him down and say this ain't it?
Yeah. And maybe that is exactly what they end up doing. This from Mean Gene on the text line at 960-960. At $5.5 million on an expiring deal, Kuzmenko is going to ask for more on his next contract. That's the nature of the NHL, but I begrudge giving him half of what he's making already. What do you do with this guy as an organization? Trade value has to be very low. And that's the other issue here is that, yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot of like long-term worry here because I don't think that Craig Conroy is looking at this and saying, okay, well, let's pounce on an extension right now. But if you wanted to make a move and recoup something and see if you could flip him for something, which has always been part of the conversation from the minute he came over in the Lindholm trade.
Right.
You know, if that is the idea, then you're going to need to see a whole lot more than one goal in 22 games for a guy that scored 39 as a first-year NHLer 2 years ago. He's got one goal in 22 games. He's barely shooting the puck.
Well, and not being privy to Craig Conroy's phone calls or you know, those chit-chats at general managers' meetings or whatever, I don't think we're talking about a guy with low trade value. I think we're talking about a guy with
no trade value.
Yeah. And when I say that, you're asking the Flames to retain certainly half of his salary for whatever amount of time is left. And then you're what? You're sending them a sixth or a seventh round pick?
Yeah.
You know, if you're the Flames, because it is, I know it's fun for us to play general manager, but it is someone's real money. How much are you willing to pay for a seventh round pick? And at that point, is it worth it?
Neil in the Northeast says, although I agree Kuzmenko has a rare skill set, at this point, he's not even tradable. Shocked to see this prolonged slump. And it has been a prolonged slump. It was, what, game 3 of the regular season, game 4 of the regular season against Chicago, where he scored the game winner on the power play on a nice redirect?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's his only goal, a redirect. He hasn't scored a goal shooting the puck yet this year. And it's the reason why we're being so hard on the guy is because there's so much more there, and there's so much more potential in terms of what this guy can be.
Yeah.
Like when he's on, he's maybe their most dynamic offensive player. But whether he's up in his head or he's not invested or whatever, I don't know what the reasons would be. For whatever reason, though, we're not seeing that at all and have rarely seen it this season.
Can I go glass half full for a second here?
Sure.
If there is a silver lining to Andrei Kuzmenko having one goal at this point in the season, if there is a silver lining to him being all too often invisible offensively and adventurous defensively, it's that if Andrei Kuzmenko had 9 goals right now, we might be talking about a contract extension. And given the lack of trust that the head coach clearly has in him, given some of the talent at wing that you have both on your team already and in your organization, I personally don't think it ever made sense to talk contract extension with Andrei Kuzmenko. And so if I'm being the glass half full guy, at least this is
Maybe takes that off the table.
It has to.
Yeah.
I mean, if Craig Conroy came out and announced an extension for Kuzmenko, we'd both fall over sideways
I agree. So I would be very much against that.
You'd have to be. He's not a good fit for a team that wants to. How often have we heard these four words out of Ryan Huska's mouth? Check for your chances.
Yep.
How many times? A bazillion. Andre Kuzmenko doesn't fit the check for your chances identity. And I'm not trying to rip Andre Kuzmenko, but I don't view him as a long-term fit for what the Flames are doing. Yeah. And I suppose to circle back to the issue we started on, he hasn't even been a good short-term fit this season for what they're doing.
Would it be, the last time I can remember a player like this that you're so badly wanting more from and that you know more exists, but for whatever reason, it just is not working. This reminds me a lot of that Roman Cervenka year. Remember, like that guy had all the skill in the world.
Very similar defensive acumen.
Yeah, maybe not that being a good part, the best part of their game. And that just didn't work out.
Yeah.
And they played out the contract and shook hands and said, hey, we gave it a try. And, you know, come June, come May, that could exactly be what the Flames end up doing, is saying, yeah, hey, we tried it, Andre. It's not going to be a fit for us long term. Good luck. And we hope that it works out wherever you're playing next year.
And just so this doesn't get maybe misconstrued, neither of us are saying you wouldn't have made that trade with the Canucks in a heartbeat. Even if you didn't think Kuzmenko could be a fit.
And they knew that this Absolutely. Might not work out. Craig Conroy, I know for a fact, knew that it may not work.
Yeah.
But you want to see if he can refine it, because I don't even know if refine's a word, but you see if he can find it again, because...
Rediscover
it.
Yeah.
You want to see if that's there, because if it is, you've got yourselves a really, really
right.
dynamic player.
And that was what it was going to take to make the salary conversation... Sorry, that was the part of the conversation where the salaries had to wash out, right?
Yep.
Vancouver needed to send a salary back. Flames had the Zoom discussions they did with Kuzmenko to ask him to consider waiving. Hey, we're going to put you on the power play. It wasn't going great with Rick Tocchet. You know, we're going to give you a little bit of a fresh lease on life here. With the pick in there, with Bruce Devich in there, you'd make that trade again. In a heartbeat, yep. it's not working here with Kuzmenko. And, you know, it's maybe a little flummoxing based on the success he had at the end of last season. But we're not, you know, this isn't a month ago where you and I are sitting here and every conversation we say, wow, so small sample size. Right now you have a guy who's in a relatively significant sample size. Just not impacting it.
Now, I bet you there's a stretch this year where we're talking about, hey, Kuzmenko's rolling. I bet you it happens. Whether it's four games, whether it's nine games. I mean, what? He had a good 15, 20 game stretch last year where he was rolling. But there needs to be more consistency. And you take out that last word, there needs to be more.
Yeah.
And right now, they're just not getting anywhere near enough.
Would you consider letting him watch one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, 100%. It's been 22 games. He's got one goal. And again, he's not making much of an impact ever unless it's on the wrong side of things.
Yeah. And he's just not, you know, not to sound like a tattletale, but he's just not doing what you're asking.
That's true. That's true.
Like, I'm sure Ryan Huska wakes up in the middle of the night sometimes thinking, what do I have to do to convince Kuzmenko to put it on net? Because when you don't shoot, you don't have a chance at the rebound. No one's got a chance at a deflection. And I get some of those, you know, longer looks aren't necessarily creating those anyway. You know, maybe they're not doing much except boost your Corsi, but with the shot that he has and with the boss begging him to use it more often, I just don't understand what the resistance is.
Few texts at 960, 960, lots of them actually, but a few other ideas in terms of guys that haven't maybe
okay. Wanting, I like this.
Wanting to see more from
memory lane.
On my personal phone, I won't say who it was, but a very smart gentleman suggested Rene Bork. Suggested Aleš Kotalík. The person on my phone suggested Aleš Kotalík. Somebody else on the text line suggesting Rene Bork.
Okay.
See, now Bork I have a little more problem with because, you know, he had two back-to-back 50-point seasons with the Flames. And I know that by the end and by the trade to Montreal, it was not working, but there were a couple really good years for Bork. I remember sitting in the hot stove lounge where Rob Kerr, Peter Marr, and Mike Rogers were having a conversation about, hey, is the torch being passed here from Jarome Iginla to Rene Bork? And they weren't. And at the time, that wasn't a ridiculous conversation. Like I'm not like old takes exposing them. I'm saying that that was the conversation at the time. Rene Bork was dominating hockey games at times, and again had two back-to-back 50-point seasons with the team.
Yeah.
And three straight 20-goal seasons.
Certainly, Bork was a guy who could have frustrating spells, but I don't remember one that lasted this long. Like you said, he put up some numbers.
Kotalík's a good one.
Yeah.
But we got to hear Eric Prydz whenever he scored on the Kotalík song, so that was good. And then a really good one, James Neal. Just never worked with Neal here.
Yeah, you could say that again.
I mean, he did score that huge goal against Pittsburgh to break the shutout. Remember that one? It was 9-0, and then all of a sudden it was 9-1.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
A few more texts. Tom and Cedar Bray, I struggle with Kuzi because he's so skilled and someone you want to work out where they are right now. They need those high-skill finds. I just feel like it's a broken record with the Flames. Highly skilled players losing their game here. I don't envy Conroy in this situation. Then those first couple paragraphs, I think, are bang on, or sentences, mm-hmm. rather. Struggling with him because he is so skilled and you want it to work out. That's exactly where I am. I know how skilled this guy is, and I want to see it. We're just not seeing it right now.
If I could just take umbrage, which is not the right term, but you know, that text ends with a guy who arrives in Calgary and sort of loses his game. And I think Andre Kuzmenko, based on the state of his game when he arrived in that trade, had sort of already lost it.
Yep.
At least it had certainly come to light what a frustrating player he could be at this level.
Yep. Ned writes, with everything else they got in that trade, Kuzi was a bonus. No loss if they get nothing. Bonus if they get anything when he leaves. I think that's a very, very good way of saying it. Michael says, as far as I'm concerned, he's probably here for the season because you aren't trading him if he doesn't improve. And if he does improve, the Flames probably do well. Play out the season and see if he figures it out. If not, move on. This reads, isn't it time to sit Kuzmenko for a couple and give Klapka a chance? I agree. Somebody comparing him to Huselius. Wrong. Huselius had two. Like, Huselius was a point per game player over the course of one season for the Flames.
It's a waiver claim too, wasn't he?
And he was a trade.
Okay.
Montador.
Had he just been on waivers before that?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, Huselius had 77 and 66 point seasons with the Flames. He scored 34 one year. So I think that's not an accurate one.
Yeah, that one. I certainly was following the Flames at that point, but I can't claim to have been I can't really analyze the Beetlejuice era.
Couple Olli Jokinen comparisons.
He could certainly run cold.
Although he seemed to figure it out by the end as well.
Kotalík, hats off. If you said Kotalík, you absolutely nailed it.
Yep. And apparently he was on waivers before the Flames traded for him. Nice memory.
Did Kotalík come over?
Kotalík was part of the Jokinen trade.
Right. Chris Higgins?
One of the most frustrating trades I can ever remember.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
They could have just kept Jokinen and let it roll out.
Right.
Instead, they traded Jokinen and Prust. And at the time, you know, Prust at that time was a pretty effective bottom six player and turned into an even more effective bottom six player.
Right.
They traded Prust and Jokinen into the Rangers for Higgins, who played like a third of a season and was like, I have no interest in re-signing here. And and Kotalik, who was an absolute unmitigated disaster.
So let me tell you a story that I always think of whenever I hear Kotalik's name, and to a lesser extent, Higgins. I forgot Prust was in that trade, and Jokinen. So that was days after the FNUF trade, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so...
And it was already going bad with how that trade was being talked about. Oh, yeah.
I had bought tickets to a Flames Flyers game to take my dad, Missy Dad, to a game for his birthday. And it was Flames Flyers, and it was being widely reported that
they
the
were
Flames
playing that game.
Had traded Jokinen and now Brandon Prust. Everyone knew who was coming back.
Before the game.
Yeah.
They played the game
right.
Without it being confirmed they had been traded, but everybody knew.
Everybody knew. And
remember,
so...
You want to hear a great story
about
that?
Well, 1 second. Yeah. So there was less intensity in that game than the preseason opener.
And I believe they lost 3-0.
It was awful. It was one of... We're pretty fortunate. You know, we get to sit and watch. Now we are working. I haven't paid for tickets in a long time because of that. I'm always there on work duties, but... I paid good money to take my dad to the game for his birthday, and it was a memorable but disappointing evening.
That night,
yeah.
I'm just gonna go pull up if I got the score right here. I'm pretty sure they lost that game 3-0 to the Flyers.
It could not have been a worse hockey game.
It was horrible. It was early January, early February. Where are we at? They lost. Yeah, they lost 3-0.
Yeah, look February 1. I'm looking. The trade was on the second. Yeah,
Feb 1. And I remember that night after the game, Jokinen and Prust walked by the hot stove lounge in suits
to go upstairs.
To go upstairs.
Yeah.
And so I won't name names, but I asked somebody. I go, so when are you guys announcing the trade? Like literally. And if this person's listening, he or she might know exactly who they are. But I walked up to this person who was trailing Prust and Jokinen, and as they were going upstairs, clearly to be informed they were getting traded. I go, when are you guys announcing the trade? Deadpan, no smile, what trade? I'm like, okay.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Which I respect. I respect it.
Thank you, Alish Kotalik Texter, for that trip down memory lane.
It's Pat and Wes. We're underway this hour. We're coming at you this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is a Tuesday edition of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. Now the voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Tuesday Roundtable. Gents, Flames lose the first leg of this four-game road trip, 4-3 in Ottawa Monday night, but I thought another solid quality start for Dustin Wolf is part of that 4-3 loss. Don't know who's going to start in Detroit on Wednesday as of yet, but gents, how important is it, especially with four games in 6 days and a pretty busy schedule here coming up over the next couple of weeks? I know Wolf's been rolling, but kind of going back to the conversations we've had at different times, how important is the whole theme of continuing to use both goaltenders for this group?
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, I don't think there's been a game this season where Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf haven't given the Flames an opportunity to win. And I mean, that is the standard that I kind of hold goaltenders to. Do you give your team a chance to win? And I don't think that either guy has had a game where he's been the problem. And they've been the solution way more often than not for the Flames. Both guys have been really good. I do think Wolf has been better than Vladar, but both guys have, well, Dustin Wolf has great numbers. I mean, he's at 2.47 goals against average and a .921 save percentage. And Dan Vladar's got good numbers, a 2.67 goals against average and a .903 save percentage. So both guys have been good. Both guys have done their job and given the Flames a chance to win in front of them. So I do think it's important to continue to rotate through them. And again, if one guy gets a shutout or one guy plays really well and you want to give him a second straight start or a third straight start or maybe even a fourth straight start, we haven't seen that yet this season, then I'm certainly okay with that. But I do think it's important to continue using them. And when you look at the last three games of this four-game road trip, so they have a 7:30 game against the Red Wings, Detroit time, coming up on Wednesday night, and then a couple of early starts in the final two games of the road trip in Columbus and Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I do suspect we'll probably see both goaltenders, and I would actually be pretty surprised if both guys didn't get two games on this trip, although that can change based on performance.
I'm pretty sure I said this on Flames Talk yesterday, and that's that barring a shutout, I kind of thought the most sensible setup was to rotate through this trip. And a lot of it is because they finish on back-to-backs because you want to keep Dan Vladar involved after, you know, a longer than usual stretch this season of inactivity when you gave Dustin Wolf three in a row. I also think, guys, and we maybe don't talk about this part of the equation enough, but I do think as Dustin Wolf gets acclimated to being a full-time NHLer and as he learns the ropes of the NHL, like we're talking about a 23-year-old who's still an NHL rookie, as we all know from the Calder Trophy buzz, practice time remains important. Like we can't look at what Dustin Wolf has done so far this season, and yeah, he's off to a terrific start. He'd be the first guy to tell you, hey, I've got a lot of things I need to work on at this level. And I think when Dan Vladar gets in the net, while Flames fans are understandably clamoring to see more of Wolf, you've got some pretty valuable practice time for a 23-year-old. You've got a chance for him and Jason LaBarbera to work on some of the little tweaks that they're trying to incorporate in his game. And so, yeah, I get it. You want to turn on the TV and see the goalie of the future. It makes perfect sense. But that practice time that he's afforded when the other guy starts can be valuable as well.
Well, and I just, at this point, I think, why overload anybody when you don't need to? And I just have kept on saying this, guys. Like, for me, one of the reasons why the Flames are where they are, even though Dustin has been the better of the two, part of the reason why the Flames are five games above 500 now into the second quarter of their season is because of the goaltending tandem. Because as a goaltending duo, they've given the team top 10 numbers and they've given the team very good outs and frequently have given them quality starts. And so I think part of that, Willsey, is the fact that you're not overloading Dustin too, that you are properly managing his ice time and his workload in his first full NHL season, and part of that is Vladar. So even if Wolf has been the slightly better of the two, doesn't mean that you then have to start overloading him with more starts and get away from the formula that has gotten you to the point you're at right now. Like, why drastically change the formula if you don't have to, especially when you're in this stretch of 4-6 with a back-to-back? And yeah, it's not the craziest travel of all time, but it's still travel between every game, so on and so forth. So it's a lot of hockey in a span of 6 days. Vladar has given this team an opportunity to win most nights, every night. He just won his last start. Wolf was fine against Ottawa, but they lose that game. Like, it just makes nothing but sense to go to Vladar Wednesday and then split the two of them on Friday, Saturday, and you know, just keep this tandem going at least until we're into the second half of the season, where, you know, maybe it becomes a little bit more touch and go with how things look in the standings. I don't know. It would seem really short-sighted 22 games in to get away from it, even though one guy has been slightly better than the other.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as I've talked about, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but I've talked about it a lot and I think you guys would agree, the biggest question mark going into the season, and there were a bunch, but the biggest one for me, and I think for most, was goaltending. You know, would one of these guys or would both of these guys as a tandem be able to give the Flames the type of goaltending that Jacob Markstrom did for the majority of his tenure with the team? And the answer to that question, at least 21, 22 games into the season, has been a resounding yes. I think you could argue the goaltending has been improved this season because they got two guys that they can lean on. And I do think that Dustin Wolf has been the better of the two, but I feel like I have to continue to add the caveat that Dan Vladaris had the tougher assignments. He's played way more on the road than he has at home. He's had the back-to-backs, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again, kind of looking at how this trip sets up for the Flames. So Dustin Wolf starts in Ottawa yesterday. Let's assume that Dan Vladar starts in Detroit tomorrow and that they go back to Dustin in Columbus on Friday. And then guess what? Vladar gets the second half of a back-to-back in Pittsburgh on Saturday. So if that's the way it sets up, I think it's proper asset management from a Flames perspective. You want to make life as easy as you can for your rookie goaltender and presumably, hopefully, your goaltender of the future in Dustin Wolf. So I think that the way they've handled the goaltenders has been really good. And I'll add this, guys. You know, Megan Mickelson and I were sitting in the stands at Little Caesars Arena today watching an optional practice. Both goaltenders were out there. And you know, I wasn't sure, you know, how this tandem would be with one another. They're both very competitive guys, Dan and Dustin. Dan's in a contract year. Dustin's trying to prove that he belongs in this league and, you know, trying to establish himself not only as an NHLer, but hopefully at some point in time, a number one goaltender at the highest level in the world. And I wasn't sure what that competition would look like, but I think it's been a really healthy competition for both guys. And, you know, Megan and I watched them interact with goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera on the ice today. They were all laughing and joking around. So it's been good to see the competition between the two guys. They both want the net. They both want to be the number one guy. But I think it's been a really healthy competition. So that's been good to see as well.
It's our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday with Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, and my name is Pat Steinberg. Guys, when do you think bringing Adam Klapka back into the lineup makes sense? Or maybe the better question is, How do the Flames get Klapka back in? What needs to happen to get still a relatively young guy, developing player still? What has to happen to get him some more ice time? Because he's been up with the team now for the last little bit and hasn't played an NHL game in quite some time. What's your feel on how this team gets Klapka back into game action?
So I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit here, Pat. So you texted me the topics. And I saw the second topic, and my mind immediately went to Andrei Kuzmenko. And then you texted me after that, and you said, hey, heads up. We were talking about Kuzmenko in the last segment, and he might come up in this one. So it's so funny. The first place my mind went when you asked how Adam Klapka gets back in the lineup was to Andrei Kuzmenko, who for me is on really thin ice. Now, it doesn't matter what his status is with me, but I've got to think that he's getting into that territory with the coaches as well. I mean, he's not contributing, and he's not the type of player who, when he isn't producing offensively, is doing a lot to help you win hockey games. He has to produce offensively, and he's just not right now. I mean, the most astounding stat to me, fellas, is that Andrei Kuzmenko, whose best weapon is his shot, hasn't had more than two shots in a game this season. I mean, that is mind-boggling for me. Didn't have any shots in last night's game against the Senators, and there were a couple of instances where I thought he looked really dangerous on the ice, and he's got great edges as well, and he was twisting and turning. It looked like he had some jump in his step, and then the play just kind of died on a stick. So watching him at practice today, he was working with a couple of the assistant coaches in Brad Larson and Cale McLean. And basically it was just kind of a quick drag around one of the coach's sticks and a shot. And he did it over and over and over again. So trust me, the coaches are stressing to Andrei Kuzmenko that he has to shoot the puck. He has to simplify. Stop looking for the perfect player, the perfect shot. Chances are it's not going to be there. Just shoot it. And I think he gets it, but he's still not doing it. So I hate to turn this conversation about Adam Klapka into a referendum on Andrei Kuzmenko, but for me, he has to be on a short leash right now. I'm not saying that he's going to come out and stay out, but we've seen him bench before. We've seen him demoted to the fourth line before. And I've got to think that the next step might be a healthy scratch, in which case Adam Klapka could get into the lineup and potentially stay in the lineup. Who knows? I mean, he brings some different things to the table that Andrei Kuzmenko does. So for me, guys, and unless there's an injury, it's Andrei Kuzmenko continuing to struggle. I mean, it's been forever since he's scored a goal. He's goalless in 18 games. He's got one goal in 22 games to start the season. So if he doesn't start to get going, then I think it's going to be an opportunity for Adam Klapka to get in the lineup and see what he does.
Yeah, I think it is time to find a spot to plug Adam Klapka into the lineup. And I also have Andrei Kuzmenko as the most likely candidate to come out. And, you know, for the reasons that Wilsey just recapped, and Pat, you and I chatted about it in the last segment, all the things that Andrei Kuzmenko maybe could be doing but isn't doing, all the frustration that has come with him as a player so far this season. But I'll just look at it from the other angle, and what's been a really positive development, although I didn't think the fourth line was especially good last night in Ottawa, for different reasons, all three of those guys are getting tougher and tougher to take out of the lineup. Ryan Lomberg is a guy who's played every game already this season. He's very much, you know, and we've all seen it in some of the footage that the Flames have shared on their docuseries. Like, he is very much the fountain of positivity, you know, a key provider of energy in the locker room. I think his sort of enthusiasm and just the fact that he's a guy who is constantly injecting energy in the room and in the bench, on the bench, I'm sorry, that makes him a tough guy to take out. Kevin Rooney worked almost 6 minutes shorthanded last night. Like, this has been the guy that you so often lean on beside Michael Backlund on the penalty kill. And when you're down to a 5-on-3 situation, he's the second guy after Michael Backlund who goes out among forwards. And then Justin Kirkland has played a crucial role in getting you 3 points in the shootout. And on top of that is providing more offense than you would expect from a fourth liner. And so one of the big reasons I'm looking at Kuzmenko as the most likely candidate to come out for Klapka is because he's just not producing. But the other side of it is that the guys you traditionally look at when you need to plug a player in the lineup, you know, you always start on the fourth line and basically say, well, okay, who comes out? It's really hard to take any of those three out right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I thought for the first time, and somebody was asking, I think it was somebody on the phone lines, either text or a phone call on Monday night about, like, okay, well, like, would you put Klapka in? And I said, well, maybe, but I don't know. Like, and I think it was, would you shake up the fourth line? I think Rooney's the easy guy to pick on for a lot of people, but I think, Wes, you laid it out really well just in terms of, I mean, he's first over the boards. It's Backlund and Rooney. Every penalty kill, they're the first forward pair over the boards unless something prevents that. So I know Rooney's the easy guy for some to pick on, but I don't think he's really teetering on coming out anytime soon. If they have more games like what we saw on Monday, well, then that becomes a little bit of a different story. But this fourth line's been so good for them and has, you know, contributed the way that they have. I don't think after one rough game, all of a sudden he's, oh, well, time to change it up. I don't think so at all. To me, guys, the way that I would go the same thing is Kuzmenko right now would be the easiest guy to make the decision on. And I just wanted to add one thing just to throw it at you, Wilsey. You know, when talking about Kuzmenko, not only has he not registered more than 2 shots on net this season, you know, you go take a look at some of the 5-on-5, and I think that this really tells the story. 5-on-5, did you know that nobody on the team is creating fewer shot attempts based on their 5-on-5 ice time than Kuzmenko is? For a guy who is as dynamic and who has as good a shot as he does, for him to be 22nd on the team behind the likes of like Kevin Ball and Joel Hanley and Ryan Lomberg, just to name a few, for Kuzmenko to be behind all those guys and last on this team right now in terms of shot attempts per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, I can't even wrap my head around it because he has such a good shot and it is such a weapon. I don't know how you get him to start using it more. I really don't. I'm sure that this is not the first time the coaching staff has talked about this or tried to do it. But yeah, I think, to long story short, I think right now maybe sitting Kuzmenko for a game is the way to bring Klapka back in. And then the other thing you could do, and they have done this, is you can still send Klapka to the American League. And you know, even the last time he was up with the Flames, went to the Wranglers for a weekend, played two games with the Wranglers, then came back to join the Flames. I do wonder if they start to think about doing that again just to get him some ice time and some playing time.
Yeah, and I would say that I think what Andre Kuzmenko needs is just to score a goal, get the monkey off his back. I mean, look at what Yegor Sharangovich has done since scoring. He has now scored in three straight games. He had 7 shots on goal and 9 shot attempts last night. I really think that if Andre Kuzmenko can just take some of the pressure off himself by finally putting the puck in his opponent's net, that that might get him going again. He's got a great skill set. I think you could argue he's got the best offensive skill set on the team. Problem is, it's hard to score if you don't shoot. Was it Wayne Gretzky or Michael Scott who first said that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take?
Yeah, that was Michael Scott.
Definitely Michael Scott.
Yeah, Michael Scott, for sure, yeah. So I think that's a perfect quote to use when describing Andre Kuzmenko because, you know, he's a goal scorer. He's not shooting the puck, so he isn't scoring goals right now. As far as the fourth line is concerned, I don't even think they were bad on Monday night. They just didn't have an opportunity to be good because the Flames were shorthanded 9 times. And what happens when you're shorthanded? You have to use your top players to kill those penalties. And you know, I think Kevin Rooney did an excellent job. He played 10 minutes and 38 seconds in that game against the Senators. He played more on the penalty kill than he played at 5-on-5. He played 5 minutes and 56 seconds on the PK and 4 minutes and 43 seconds at even strength, which is such a bizarre stat line. And, you know, he's been really good on that penalty killing pairing with Michael Backlund. And, you know, then you've got a guy who is, I think, in a lot of ways, the emotional leader of this team in Ryan Lomberg. And, you know, he didn't get a chance to do much last night because he only played 6 minutes and 38 seconds. And then kind of stuck in between those two guys was Justin Kirkland. And he played 8 minutes and 5 seconds. Again, you get into a game script like that where you're shorthanded 9 times and for a total of 12 minutes and 7 seconds, and you put yourself in a position where it's really hard to use your fourth line. So I think the fourth line has been good. I wouldn't touch it. And if I did touch it, it would be because Andre Kuzmenko put me in a position where I felt like I had to take him out of the lineup, even if it was a one-game reset and then maybe a move, I don't know, Kirkland, up into your top 9 and slot Klapka into that spot on the right side on a line with Rooney and Lomberg. So we'll see where it goes. But again, as I started this conversation, I think Kuzmenko's probably on pretty thin ice right now, even if it's just a benching or a one-game healthy scratch.
Good stuff, Willsie. We'll do it again on a Wednesday roundtable. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, hey?
All right, guys. Have a good night.
He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That is our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday as we start to wrap things up this hour. Cam Hughes, Shan Vergy, our producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.